You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to the after show for The Flash, Season 5, Episode 19, Snowpack. So we're going to be talking Icicle Strike, the West Island Family Feud, and Cicada 2. All that plus some news and gossip. Let's get into it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the after show for The Flash. It is season 5, episode 19, Snowpack. So we've got a few things we want to talk about. We got to get on this Icicle topic and talk about him and everything that's gone on. The West Allens are having a family feud that is super important. And Cicada 2 makes an appearance. So we're going to do all that plus some news and gossip. Zach is not with us tonight. He will be back. So don't you fret. But I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and I couldn't do it without my girl.
Hey, y'all. It's Chauncey K. Robinson.
All right. So let's jump into this episode, Snowpack. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Icicle and how he came in with a bang. He was just busting stuff up and didn't care who he was hurting. What do we think about the episode overall? And then let's start with Icicle.
Yeah, I thought it was an action-packed episode for sure. I mean, it seemed like so much was going on. I mean, we had like different dynamics, different people working together. And then, yeah, it was just so much happening. So many revelations thrown throughout and so much angst. I love angst.
Yeah, I have to agree. I enjoyed it for the same reasons. And it was especially, too, because we just left Easter weekend and everything was about family. It was kind of like, dang, well, what if this was my mom or my dad? I started putting other people into place like, oh, my God, this would be crazy.
That was definitely a theme of the episode, family. I do have a certain concern with I always have concerns, guys. You know this by now. When it came to I felt certain things were a little contrived to get certain points across. And I'll get into that. But other than that, I thought it was overall solid.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear those points because sometimes I'd be missing things. But when you bring it up, I'm like, you know what? So Icicle, when he first came on the scene, he scared me. I really wasn't sure who it was until, you know, he started throwing the ice picks. But we start with him coming on the scene to steal the cryo atomizer because he wants to make a snowpack. He wants to make a family. He wants to erase Caitlin, erase Miss Townhauser, and refill them with as villains. What do you think about his tack on the lab?
I mean, yeah, it started pretty quick. I kind of knew when JP, I think was the security guard's name, had introduced himself. I'm like, he's totally a red shirt of Star Trek. Like, he's going to die. Just for the certain purpose, they came in, he had his line. I'm like, something's going to happen to red shirt JP. And then, when that happened, I thought it kind of made sense, but then it was kind of like, man, this seems out of nowhere. He's been gone for a while, and now he's like, I want you guys back as my family. Like, at first, when Barry and them thought that his initial thing was to basically start a new ice age, I'm like, man, that's, sinister. I don't know what maybe he wants to turn everyone into icicle people. I'm like, that's sort of diabolical. But then it was, this whole weird sentimental thing of, I want my wife and my kid back, but I don't want them as you guys. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I am so glad you said that because it was so out of nowhere. I think that's when he first came on the scene. I didn't know who he was because, one, he looked terrible. They just really made him.
He was so scary looking.
He was
so scary. I like it.
Yeah, so it was the good. Makeup. But I was also like, yeah, this is random. And I started to think about the last episode and why all of a sudden Thomas was in the picture for the moment. So, he has this moment where he's doing all that, and then Killer Frost and him end up getting in a fight. That was interesting. For the way that that looked and, you know, the way that they, I guess, CGI, would that be the right thing to say?
Yeah,
with
it was that? Total CGI.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did a good job with that fight scene.
I thought in this whole episode, particularly, you know, one at first I thought it was a little bit of a drastic, like, shift. Like, we just had this emotional thing with Nora, and now we're doing, like, the Killer Frost plot line in a way. But it wasn't the Killer Frost plot line. It was more so a Caitlin plot line. But Killer Frost was also very cool right. in it. So I dug.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That and I did like that we got to see her more in an action kind of thing, because I know some of the concerns is that, you know, in cases for those who are like Killer Frost, Caitlin fans, they feel like she gets sidelined a little bit and she doesn't, you know, get to kind of shine as much unless it's like her new love interest or whatever that they've inserted. So I thought this was a good episode for her. Like when she fought off with Cicada 2.0 and stuff, I was like, wow, Killer Frost. I mean, I like Killer Frost. I think yes. like her as a character and Caitlin too, but I really like when she's Killer Frost because she just gets really like that, you know, just cool. And so that was cool. And the whole thing of them doing the ice bridge was also cool. But then you had the heart of her and the mother, you know, bonding.
Yeah, exactly. All the moments with the mom. I thought that was a good idea to put in there, especially because they were almost warming us up for the dad not being there, because it's like, we can't be at odds and then lose him, and then what are they going to have? So it was kind of nice that they started to mend their relationship for 2 seconds before, you know, the dramatic ending where Grace, it's terrible. Cicada 2 straight up kills her father. That was a little dramatic also. That was really harsh.
Honestly, there were a lot of things that were a little predictable, the way things were going. Like the whole thing of Carla, Caitlin's mom, like her sort of turning meta and things of that nature. And that one too, when Thomas said, I think I finally beat this monster, I'm like, either the monster's not really gone or he's going to die. Like right. he serves no other purpose but as a plot point, because that's the way they've written it. And even his death was sort of a plot point. And this was my little concern that I had a little bit with it, which was, you know, he kind of died, and then that's when Barry, like, gets the whole thing about family. And I'm like, wow, did they just build all this up so that Barry could learn a lesson? Like, was Caitlin's dad a sacrificial lamb for a plot point? Like,
really?
Because yeah, his ending felt like speech. That a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, felt a lot on the nose. And I think, also, thank you for joining us in the chat. Ivan Soto actually pointed out with Killer Frost, which I also thought as well, where Icicle was trying to turn them into their Frost personas. But the thing is, Killer Frost isn't evil. So what was he thinking he was going to get by changing it so Killer Frost was only the only one around? So that was a little bit of a plot point that was a little bit of a hole.
Right, because I know Killer Frost on her own, yeah, she's not evil. She would still very much recognize yeah. Team Flash and whoever else and whatever. It's not Caitlin that makes her soft, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking.
It was a plot. And honestly, it was a little bit of a plot hole. And like I said, I felt like this was a little bit, I love that we got the thing of Caitlin and her mother bonding. I thought that was really good. I actually like Caitlin's mother as a character. I think yeah. she's very cool as a scientist, and she's, you know, quick-witted and very sharp tongue. And she's kind of Killer Frost without being meta, you know? It's yeah. kind of like you see where that Killer Frost personality maybe has come in to Caitlin because of the way her mother also was.
Right.
And so I appreciated that, but I also felt like this was kind of one major plot point to get to the whole, you know, West Allen family drama, which, you know, I don't mind, but it was also kind of like, well, that sucks. You know, character, if you're going to write a story for a plot point, a plot character thing for a character, it should be for that character, not necessarily for to teach another character a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, like Caitlin's dad just died. It was like, wow.
That was so much. And I really didn't get that when they were back at Star Labs. And, you know, it just kind of seemed like they went about their day.
Yeah.
And her mom's just like, okay, well, see you later, Kate. Like, it was just like, oh my God, y'all are dysfunctional than a mug.
Yeah.
But it was fine.
And then, I mean, did you see it coming that her mom's, because when we were watching it together, I saw you make a face when Kayla was like, yeah, it stayed green or what, black or something. That means you're not a meta. I think you did a face like, uh-huh.
Right. Because she put it down too quick. And then, you know, the camera sometimes alludes to like, don't you forget about that little vial. And I could just sense it. And I'm just like, oh, Lord. That would make perfect sense because now we still have, who knows where that can go, and we still have,
yes,
you know, Killer Frost with a, you know, potentially meta parent.
Exactly. And I thought it kind of made sense, though, because of the fact of, if you get, that was the thing, too, because Icicle, as those who know about the comics know, Icicle's actually in the comics, because Zach at one time did the baddie breakdown here. We missed your baddie breakdown, Zach.
Yes.
And he talked about Icicle actually being in the comic. Different origins, of course, and I don't think in the comics he's actually connected to Killer Frost, but you know, when they killed him off, too, that was like, whoa, you just killed off a major, not major, but you killed off a significant comic book character. What's going to happen? So I feel like it was kind of a trade for a trade. It was like, okay, we need to kill him off so Barry can learn a lesson. So let's make her mom a meta. So that can continue that plot line. So,
yeah.
Okay.
I love it. So Barry can learn a lesson. So before we move on talking and, you know, going into what happened with, you know, Barry and Iris, which is where we open up on the show. Do you want to give a little share to our AfterBuzzer friends?
Yes. Hey, guys. Before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. No matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, thank you guys and you guys in the chat. And you'll want to stick around for our news and gossip and some predictions. So
yeah,
now let's talk this West Allen family feud. We actually opened. Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to say one thing about the Killer Frost plotline thing.
Oh, yeah.
I did think it was very cute that Joe and Barry were caught in the middle of Carla and Caitlin's arguments the whole time. And they kept wanting to leave the room. It was a nice attraction for Barry. And it also gave Joe something to do.
Right.
And sure, Luke.
Yeah, that's
Sher Luke true. Actually, you know, throughout this episode, well, in the beginning, they were still mad at Sher Luke, right? Which I did not appreciate. I didn't think everyone should still be mad at Sher Luke.
No.
And it was nice because with Barry, you know, almost dying of hypothermia, Sher Luke came through and he also helped with the whole Caitlin situation, which was a good kind of showing that Sher Luke is a valuable member of the team, which I really like Sher Luke. He's probably I could say maybe he's my favorite Harry.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't think he would be. At first, when he first came on, I was like, oh my gosh, another Harry. But he's definitely my favorite, so.
Yeah, and then you're right about, you know, him being placed throughout the show. And what I think is he's always been this role in this character.
Yeah.
But us starting out and seeing how everybody's mad at him again for like the second and a half episode in a row, it was really nice to be reminded, like, don't exile him. Like, y'all, everybody had to bring back the person they tried to kick out. Like,
yeah,
we're a family. You can't do that. I know you're upset, but everybody that's on the show thus far and that's still together, they're all valuable. They're all family. So I'm glad that we got to see his value.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, I'm glad Sher Luke stayed. I just really like him.
I've come
to like his character. And I was a little annoyed that people were still mad. I'm like, you've done enough. Really, guys?
Yeah. And he's trustworthy because, like I said, you don't need a bunch of yes men around.
Exactly.
If you see something wrong, see something, say something. Okay.
You see something, you say something. That's what Sher Luke did.
That's and the kind of person you want on your team.
It wasn't exactly an apology that I had asked for last week to him. I demanded an apology to Sher Luke, but it was close enough with Ralph calling him family. So I was like, all right, y'all are forgiven. I will forgive you for Sher Luke.
Yeah, Ralph did a lot of stretching out and filling in the blanks and holes and soft spaces all throughout this episode. It's like he'd pop in the room, say something wise, and then back out. I'm
just yeah,
like,
they very know. Much have done that with Ralph, too.
Yeah.
And we see that in the next plot point. But, like, yeah, they've definitely done some great stuff with Ralph as well.
Yes, definitely love that character. So That was such a heated and colorful, powerful scene that we opened up with seeing our little marital fight with Iris and Barry. What did you think about that?
That was serious. That they were saying some stuff that they seemed like they were holding in for a bit. Like, okay. Iris straight up said, we done been to therapy, we done been through this, and you're still doing the same thing. And I'm like, whoa, where's this coming from?
Right.
And she was like, you're still making decisions for us, you know, about your emotions. And it's funny because isn't that what Thawne said last episode to Nora? Like, you know, or he said it somewhere.
Yeah, I think he
about
did say to Nora.
Barry being an emotional person, which isn't necessarily a negative, but if you're that emotional, it's good to have a secondary, your partner,
right?
You know, which could be Iris. And, you know, I think also Barry made some good points as well. You know, he was like, I'm emotional, so are you. He was like, your emotion, though, is on the other end because Nora stopped hating you. I was like, ooh, he brought that back up.
Okay.
He was like, Nora stopped hating you, and, like, that's why you feel, you know, like you want to keep her around. And I was like, okay, so we're just, like, talking truth right now.
Yeah, and it was very reflective, again, of real life, because a lot of times when we're arguing with people, especially in a relationship, there is a mirror that's being mm-hmm. held up. And I think they both had extremely valid points.
Yes.
I definitely understood Barry 100%. And his personality is also important. Just like Ralph comes in and fills in the blanks. Everybody has their role. I don't think his leading by emotion is bad either. Because when you are a leader, you have to be instinctive. You can't be second guessing yourself or wondering who somebody's going to think, what you did, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of get how he missed confronting or consulting with his spouse. I get that. Do I excuse it? No. But then same thing. Yeah. Iris just keeping her here. That could be just as dangerous as well.
That was the one thing I did have an issue with. And yeah, let us know in the chat what you guys are thinking. Which team was you on? Maybe you're just on the West Allen team, period. Like them as the couple. You don't want them to fight. But yeah, let us know. Yeah. But I mean, I did have an issue with her saying that she wanted Nora to stay there. I'm like, you got to let her go eventually. Like, you're going, first of all, no offense, but Iris, you're going to have her eventually.
Yeah.
So it's like, you will get to see her again. Yes, maybe not in that form yet, but I did think it was a little weird where she was like, how much longer did she think Nora was going to be able to stay around? How much longer does she think Nora can stay around? Nora cannot live two lives. You know, she can't be like, I'll just hang out with my parents in their past. Like, they need to be able to live their lives too without a darn near grown daughter as
yeah.
well. So
yeah.
I think, you know, I feel like Iris is going to have to get to the point where she's going to have to let Nora go. Because it wouldn't make much sense for her to stay around.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, all of this time I've been enjoying, well, you know, tolerating Nora and her antics. However, this episode did make me think, okay, but when is she going to go home, though? Because Iris was like, I just want my family back. And it's like, when
right?
did you get so married to that idea? Like, and why is this just now the time that we're talking about Nora and her going back? And why we talk... Why are we talking about bringing her back to 2019? It's just,
right?
Now I'm confused.
Right? It was just like, yeah. And, you know, Art Master Austin actually said, Barry and Iris need to work on honing in on their emotions and keeping them in check. And yeah, they both were very emotional. But I definitely, honestly, if Barry actually hadn't brought it up, like you had just said, the idea of, you know, you're emotional too, Iris, I wouldn't even thought about it like that. I was more so, I admit, I was focusing in on the idea that he took Nora back to the future without consulting Iris. And I was like, yeah, that's wrong. And I was very much like, no, he's wrong for that. But then I saw what he said and I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she is kind of emotional. But yes, he shouldn't have taken her back in anger, you
right.
know, give her a hug. I said that last week. He could have said, you know, giving her a hug, you might not see her ever again. But it was also kind of like, I totally understood where he was saying, he was like, you're emotional too. You don't want to let her go. And it's like, it comes to a point where she can't be, it's a little weird that Iris is, as this young professional young woman,
mm-hmm.
is so quick to have this adult daughter that she wants to bond with.
Yeah.
It wasn't as glaring before as it is right now.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't until this episode I'm like, wait, she doesn't even belong here.
Right?
Like, don't we need to start talking about when she's going home? Because it is weird. And
yeah.
it doesn't make, I mean, they go through a lot of weird things. So I get it. But it just doesn't make sense for her to be lingering. Like, what is the plan? What's the goal?
And the longer she's there, the longer Iris is going to be attached to her. And it's like, right. It's a little weird. I'm not going to be weird and put myself in, like, if my daughter came back from the future. But, I mean, it is kind of like, well, you're still young, and don't you, once again, I'm going to bring it back up. Barry's supposed to, like, disappear in some years. Like, don't you want to spend some time with you and your husband and trying to figure out how you can hold on to him a little bit longer? I mean, right. You do get to see your daughter eventually.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird. That's a little weird.
Nope, I second you on that. It really is. So maybe we'll find out more about that in the future. One thing that was also cute, talking about people popping in and out, is Cecile with her little spidey sense. I like how she's been able to pop in and be like, no, I sense determination on Iris. Yes. You better go follow her.
Yeah, it was cute. I mean, yes, it was cute. I mean, I do feel like sometimes it can be, what do you call it when something, not a deuce macana or something, you know, when someone is... The thing they do pretty much solves the problem quick enough because the writers can't necessarily write it.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, she's feeling mad right now. You have to go follow her, Ralph, right? Because they can't convey it in dialogue. Yes. And I was like, okay, I guess Cecile can sense her emotions. So yeah. She'll send Ralph. Like, okay, that's convenient.
Right, right.
It's a very convenient power that they've given her.
It is very convenient. That is a great way to look at it. And that was such a great adjective because she definitely needed it. And I didn't think that Ralph... I did think Ralph was going to talk her out of it. I didn't think he was going to go. But I'm glad he did. Because what was she going to do? Go handle the sphere and time travel on her own? Like, she probably could have, Iris. But at the same time, I don't know what she thought she was going to do.
Like, this was another thing. And I think someone else in the chat said, you know, sometimes Barry and Iris are emotional and they make bad decisions. And let's just think for a second, if Ralph hadn't been there, what was she going to do? Yeah, she was going to go do the cylinder by herself and somehow get them over and run to the thing in her heels and stuff. And it was just right. Like, girl, what are you trying to do exactly? You're going to time travel as much as you know. And she did apologize for it eventually.
Yes, which was good.
You know, but it was kind of foolhardy to, like, decide that you were going to time travel knowing all the issues. Like, how are you going to get into the facility? You've never been to the future. If Ralph wasn't there, she wouldn't have been able to get in. How was she going to do any of that?
No idea, you know? At all.
And it was like, she didn't think that through.
No, not at all.
And I was just like, I get it, once again. But once again, as Barry pointed out, she was emotional just like he was, just on the other end of the argument.
Yep.
And I did think it was funny that Ralph found a secret room that all of them go into. He was like, how long y'all been hiding in this room? What else am I going to find? A bowling alley?
Yeah, that was good.
It is true. No one told him about that room.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there was a bowling alley.
Probably is, you know? Somewhere. I mean, they have bad security at Star Labs, but they sure do well with secret rooms.
Exactly. Yeah, and so... Yeah, so I'm glad he went with her because things were not going to get done any other way. Then, so Iris has an opportunity to confront Thawne. Oh, that was another powerful thing in the argument, because I could feel Barry was about to go there, especially when he asked her, like, well, wouldn't you be as mad if you saw this man kill your mother in front of you? And that is such a valid point.
It was.
It's like, oh, well, maybe I believe Thawne and maybe he's not so. It's like, you can't understand where I'm coming from, that I don't fool with him?
Yeah, even Barry had to pause, and he was like, wow. Because he looked at her, he was like, you don't care, do you? He's right. Like, that's not affecting you.
Right.
And she owned up to it. She's like, she no, did. It's not affecting me. Mm. But he said, he's like, well, maybe if he had killed your mother. And I was like, wow, that's real true.
Ooh.
Like, Iris, like, he did kill her. Like, this is the thing about this whole thing with Thawne, that I'm very, you know... And I'm very conflicted with a little bit about the idea of, is he somehow redeemed? I'm waiting for the ace to be turned, pulled out of the sleeve, even though he cares for Nora and all this other stuff.
Right.
I really do think there has to be ace out of the sleeve, because I can't fathom how he would be redeemed at this point. Like, right. Just because he's been on death row for all these years, he got the chance to think. This is like the biggest villain for Flash. To redeem him... It just seems a little weird.
It does, especially in the role as the West Allen family counselor.
Yes, that too. I mean, even like Thawne, he was like, the West Allen needs his man. I'm like, yo, you straight up killed Barry's mom. Can you really talk about family?
Right. It's getting really weird.
Like, this is like we had said, he's like that uncle to Nora right now that ain't no one asked for.
Nobody even asked
like,
for.
Like, well, don't listen to your Uncle Thawne.
Right.
He's going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Yeah, it was just, not, it's weird. And I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't think he's totally on the up and up. I do think he cares for Nora, but maybe in some twisted way.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, we're going to have to say, I would say twisted, because why did he, come on, with all his experience, he didn't think enough to not tell her about how to go in the other type of Speed Force? Like, would you, if that was your child, was that where you would want to send them? Because her little tantrums, I just want to see my dad, and can't anybody understand? I just want to see my dad. She needs to calm down.
Yeah.
I get it, but she needs to take a deep breath and relax, and I don't know if I can buy how much he cares, because he keeps sending her in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I got that she felt some type of way about Barry doing that and stuff, but once again, she's not thinking about the consequences of her actions very much. It's like he straight told you don't show up. Like, maybe you need to give him a little bit of space. I mean, literally in her time, I mean, I think what, Dawn had like 10 minutes left on the clock. Yes. It's only been 5 minutes. She's been back maybe for 5 minutes. So in 5 minutes, it's just like, I'm not going to listen to anything my father says. I'm going to basically take in your Speed Force. Who knows? Like, your creation of the Speed Force. And I do want to talk about the negative Speed Force, because that is a very big thing in the comic books. But it was, you know, it's just this idea that she wasn't thinking. And I know, you know, there's some criticism of this idea that maybe we bash Nora. I like Nora. Mm-hmm. I like the character of Nora. I just, with any of these characters, that we were just talking about the West Allen argument, same way I see Iris's point and her faults, and Barry's points and his faults, is the same way with Nora. I mm-hmm. see her points of wanting to help her father, but I also see the faults that she really doesn't stop to think sometimes. Like, if Dawn is straight up telling you to your face, this is going to be a little bit negative. It's like, are you not thinking of the ramifications why no one else but Dawn, who is on death row, has used a negative version of this godly thing that we know as the Speed Force?
Right.
It's literally, if we, as for speedsters, the Speed Force is like the universe, mm-hmm. a godly type thing. Wouldn't you think the opposite of that would be like the satanic version?
I mean, that's all I kept hearing. And then it also raised a red flag, because it's like, all you're looking at is yourself. You want to spend time with your dad, you and your dad, and why did he leave me, and da da da. But it's like, you got to learn who your father was, and he was so upset with you with what you did with this man. He took you back to where you're going, and you go back to this man, and you're still taking advice from this man. Like, you're not even looking at your father being so upset that he feels like he can't trust you enough. He got to take you all the way back home.
Yeah. Which Barry was wrong for, because he just kind of left her there. I totally get her consideration.
Right.
And, like, you know, Jaysa Pierce, sorry if I said the first name, she said kind of like Barry was in the early season, she's definitely Barry's kid. This is true. But
good
Barry
point.
Was also knuckleheaded. And,
he
you
was.
Know, he had a lot of faults, too. I mean, I've been watching this show for, like, the 5 years, and
yeah.
I had issues with Barry. There were times when I was like, you know what? Enough about Barry. You know what I mean? He annoyed me as well. He grew out of that.
Yeah.
And I think I can still have those same frustrations with Nora now. Those frustrations don't go away. It just
True.
Shows that she has faults, just like he had faults in season one. I just worry that at times she's not growing from them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, if this is what you... It's like, you know, a little kid, if you touch the stove and people are like, don't touch this, it's hot. Then you touch the stove and get burned, it's hot. But then you go back and now you turn the stove on and put your hand back on it. Like, I feel like that's what she's doing with this Thawne situation. Like, he's really got a hold on her. Like, that's your new daddy, girl.
Yeah.
The way you're acting.
Right?
It's like,
which is probably what Barry is afraid of this. And Iris actually says, when they have their heart-to-heart West Allen talking kiss, oh my God, they kiss. She says, she's like, I actually do think he's manipulating her. For what, she doesn't know, but he's manipulating her. And the negative Speed Force takes over.
Yeah.
And just to talk a little bit about the, you know, negative Speed Force, it's definitely something in the comics. It's something that is very much associated with Reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne, and he created it. And it basically, in the comics, it's this, you know, it's the, as he explained also in the live action, that's a negative force. And it has the ability actually to eat away at any other speedster to the point of like killing them and stuff. And it's driven by rage. You know, and in the comics, he actually puts it on Barry because he hopes it to, like, consume Barry with rage and stuff. So it's interesting that they do in the live action that it happens to Barry's daughter, which I thought was a nice remixing of that. And, the negative Speed Force is serious business. So the fact that, you know, we're going to probably see the ramifications of Nora jumping into it. It was interesting that someone said last episode when this happened of what Barry did that to Nora, of taking her back to the future, of this is the origin story of supervillains.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And it kind of looks like it happened. So Barry did play a part in that. You know, that was a little bit negative, but this negative speed force is definitely not something to be messed with.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. I did not get a good feeling about it at all, especially when he was telling her, like, you're light, your father's light, you come from light. God, Nora.
And this is what makes me question Thawne, too. It's like, if you knew that you that this was driven by rage,
why would you enhance that in her?
Exactly. Why would you think, you know, to push that on Nora if you care for her so much?
Exactly.
Why would you, like, when it, I mean, he did at first, like, for a second say, no, we can't do it. But then he gave in really quickly.
He did.
And if you know if she's going to be consumed by this force, and he doesn't give her any warnings, like, you need to know how to control this somehow or whatever. It's like, none of that. It's like, well, it's going to be a little negative.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff made you a serial killer, dude. Like, it made you, like, evil.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay with Nora jumping into that, you know?
Well, obviously, he was. He only got 5 minutes to live anyway.
Well, I mean, I think he has an ace up his sleeve.
Yeah, he absolutely does. And can't wait to see what that might be. Yeah, so that was a mess. I'm glad to see Barry and Iris reconcile, because I think the theme of the overall, you know, with Icicle and family and West Allen is that family doesn't leave family.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense. It's much better to solve things together.
Thomas died for that lesson. Caitlin's dad died.
Yes.
For Barry can learn that lesson.
Like, exactly. So a little, pour out a little.
Pass some Hennessy.
Yeah, pour out a little liquor for him, because that's exactly what happened. Well, let's move on to our last topic, which is a pretty quick one, but Cicada 2 pops up, which I really didn't like. She, to me, came out of absolutely nowhere. I don't even remember. I don't even know how she knew where they were or how she was on the radar, but whatever. She comes right in the nick of time to start blasting on Barry. And I don't know what her motive was. Did she, because who said it? Somebody was like, oh, why would she be here in the middle of nowhere for Icicle and Killer Frost? Like, why was she? I don't know. I got lost with that part just a little bit.
Yeah, it seems as though she needed something. Whatever Thomas had stole, or Icicle had stole, she stole it. She stole it too. And it seems to have something to do with present Grace and somehow healing her. So maybe it's some kind of meshing of the shard that's in her head and that, to kind of get the powers that she now has. Like, maybe instead of making, because, you know, when she fought off with Killer Frost, it was actually a very cool showdown. It looked like a very cool showdown between Cicada 2.0 and Frost. But I noticed that, you know, Frost had the white thing, and then Cicada had the red.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I mean, it's not necessarily associated with heat, but maybe there's something she uses with that thing for her present person's powers.
That makes sense. I don't feel like I learned enough about the cryo-atomizer to understand why it would be relevant for her, but you're right. That's probably what she was going for, especially because, you know, she needs this to make herself, to keep herself relevant, because baby Grace has to live, and she got to do whatever she has to do with that.
Yeah, honestly, because, I mean, I really like the Frost plot line, you know, because I felt like it worked for Caitlin's character. And the plot line really worked. And I, of course, love the West Allen drama. When Cicada 2.0 showed up, I did a little, I mean, I don't think I've been too secretive about my feelings about the Cicada plot line, period, of how I felt like it went nowhere.
Right.
But it was also kind of like, when she showed up, I'm like, man, you're just messing it up. Like, we got a good thing going here. Like, this all works for the characters. This is good arc. And here's Cicada 2.0. I'm going to steal things and kill Caitlin's dad. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it was really bad. And I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know why that had to be at her hand. It was just very messy.
I mean, I felt like it was not saying like it was the writers basically like, hey, you remember her?
Right.
You know, she's been gone for like 2 to 3 episodes. But remember, she's one of our big bads this season. So yeah. Gotta shoehorn her in at the end of this episode. No, I don't care about Baby Grace at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm kind of, I'm still not completely convinced that Cicada 2.0 is that invincible that they haven't really been able to beat her yet. It feels a little contrived that she's still allowed to stay around.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm wondering, why didn't they do something? Isn't there anything Team Flash could have, well, I guess there's nothing they could have done with Coma Grace.
Maybe they could have hit her. Like, you know, Future Grace is, they have bigger things to worry about, right?
They can't kill her, right?
Yeah, that'd be wrong. No.
Okay, that'd be
girl.
Wrong. Don't kill the child. Wow. Even though the child's going to grow serious. Up. Well, she's going to grow up to be a murderer.
Well, they did remember the whole thing with The Cure, with Sisko, who was not this episode.
They could have just...
But she didn't. She's not conscious to give.
Girl.
And we already know in her mind, she's already sort of off. Like, even present day Grace is kind of off at this point. So she wouldn't have taken the thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I felt like they might have been able to do something. I'm not going to say imprison the girl who's comatose at the moment. But they did kind of leave her vulnerable for Cicada 2.0 to take her.
By any means necessary.
Not that they were thinking about it, though, right? It wasn't on my mind until it happened.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they should have kind of been watching Baby Grace.
Lord have mercy. Well, that was quite a wild ride. There was so much that was going on. Before we jump into predictions and what we think is going to happen, we're going to talk some news and gossip.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Although, yeah, just throwing a little, there was a little news in the chat where they started a hashtag called Just Kill Psycho Grace.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't mean to be the one, I'm just saying.
I think Jamie basically supports that. So, we have some cute news this week, nothing too major, but one is Danielle Panabaker wants Sky High 2, and she reveals some plot ideas that she has for the sequel. For you Disney heads out there, you may remember, we know Killer Frost in this great episode and that Danielle plays, but you may also know her from 14 years ago when she played a superpowered young woman in Sky High, the Disney movie and stuff. And she recently said in an interview that she really wants to do a sequel to Sky High, and that her plot in mind was that the original characters would come back as teachers and they could be young, cool, hip teachers, and they can teach the next class of superheroes. So yeah, she wants to do another superhero deal, but this time Disney style. And yeah, let us know if you want a Sky High 2, if anyone's ever seen that movie. Yeah. Did you
watch it? No, I did not.
Okay. I didn't watch it. I heard it was cool, though.
Yeah.
Also, we had Iris West, Eddie Thawne, and also Marlise DeVoe reunion. At least in real life.
Right.
Because we saw a reunion of these three, the actors anyway, as Candace put on her Instagram last week of a recent hike that the three of them took. And it's so nice to see them outside of the drama and the angst of The Flash at times, just to know that these are real people, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were some cute pictures that they took. Also, Candace put on her Instagram some pictures of being on set, which looks to be like the last days of filming. And her and the cast, which included in this picture Carlos, Tom, and Hartley, are playing Uno. And Grant Gustin actually commented on this photo in Instagram saying, oh my gosh, I was already wrapped. So what we know from that, we can glean, is that it seems like Grant has finished filming and somehow Iris and them are still on set. So either things get filmed out of order. So this is not to say, I'm not trying to start any gossip that they killed the Flash off or anything. But for whatever reason, Iris is working close with Ralph, Tom, and Sisko. We can garner from that. And
right.
Flash isn't around. So let's see what happens there as we go towards the season finale.
Yes, well, thank you so much for that news and gossip. That was really great and fun. And I do like seeing them in their natural element and that they hang out outside of the show. And Eddie, he's been gone for so long, so it was just good to see his face.
Yeah, I didn't ship it, him and Iris. I was West Allen from the very beginning, but they were cute.
They were cute. I mean, he was sweet. He was a nice guy.
And he kind of died for nothing, because he sacrificed himself and he didn't need to, right?
Right, and it seems like there's a lot of that going on in there.
Right? For plot points.
Right. So we love it. We love the way everything turned out. Now let's just go dive right into some predictions.
And
now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Let's see.
Do you want to go?
No, you.
Okay.
You start this thing off.
Well, I think Nora has gone off her rocker, and she has clearly not of any fault really of her own except for choosing to do the Speed Force, but the negative Speed Force looks to have taken her over. We saw it in her eyes, which is very reminiscent to what we saw Reverse Flash in those seasons, like, of that figure that killed original Nora, right? Mm-hmm. This is so weird karma. Mm. So she's gotten taken over. She's probably going to go evil for a bit, and I think, you know, Barry's going to have to deal with that guilt that maybe he kind of pushed her to that. Mm. Which he necessarily shouldn't, but I think he's going to feel guilty. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, I definitely have to second you on that. We're going to see some evil, angry, oh my gosh, type Nora. What else? Maybe not like everything is based on a Sherlock apology, but I think they'll definitely bring him back in and, you know, start to uncover, I don't know what, but something else. And I think that we are going to possibly learn a little bit more about Cicada too, and get a little more of that going. I feel like I had one more prediction, but I can't think of it right now. I was thinking of it earlier when we were talking about...
with Ralph or anything?
Was it Barry and Iris?
Some people are predicting that she's going to be pregnant by the end of this season. I don't think so. I think Nora's a few years off before that happens.
Huh. That's a good one.
That's a good prediction. I kind of hope that's not true. Do you think they're going to beat Cicada 2.0 before the season's out?
I hope before the season's out.
I hope so as well.
Was that possible? So what do we think, guys? We have another four shows, probably three more shows.
Yeah. Do y'all think they're going to get rid of Cicada 2.0, or they're going to be able to beat her?
They're going to have to. There's no way this is going to be season 6, and I don't want to hear anything about
Grayson. Man, if they could beat DeVoe in one season, they could beat Cicada 2.0.
Word.
In one season. There's no way her character, not that I like the actress, but not that her character should be able to somehow make it over to the next season, and DeVoe, of all characters, was able to be defeated in one. No, that's not. No.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't make sense. So I hope that doesn't work. But yeah, I think that's it. If I can remember the next one, I'll share it next time.
Yes.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in to the after show for The Flash. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
And I'm Chauncey K. Robinson, and you can find me on YouTube at my self-named YouTube channel, and also on Rotten Tomatoes, as I'm an official film and TV critic there.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.